Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. 80 days till kickoff. That's another number there. But tell us,
there's been some good number 80s at Texas. So in the chat, y'all let us know who the number one, the best number 80 in Texas history was today.
I've got some ideas. I think Malik Ogbo right now is rocking number 80 pretty hard.
Yep,
but he's not the best ever. We'll come back to that. Hey Jerry, they got a big commitment. They got a big commitment yesterday from Caleb Chester. You want to start out there, Blake? Does that sound good to you?
Yep, definitely. Let's start with that. And that popped yesterday afternoon. Jerry, I'm gonna let you tell folks about him.
Yeah, Caleb Chester, the corner from Fort Bend Marshall. I'd been over there about 3 weeks ago. There was a video on Texas Football Archives, about a 10-minute interview with him where you can kind of get to know Caleb Chester a little bit. I talked about this after that visit, and I've been over there about three times. I was over there last week as well before his official visit. But Caleb Chester, he's a football junkie kid now. He's one that studies film. He loves the game of football. Yeah, he likes making plays. He likes being out there. He likes performing. He's enjoyed the recruiting process prior to committing to Texas. But this guy's a football junkie. He is going to be in the film room sometimes early, and the coaches are. He's got that type of mentality about him, which you really like. He checked in on this Texas official visit last weekend at 6 foot, shade over 6 foot, maybe 6 foot and a quarter. In 174 pounds. So he's gained about 10, 12 pounds from a year ago, starting to get more. He's gotten more serious about the weight room here in the last year, has added some good strength to his frame. He's a wiry corner. That's what he is. But he's added a lot of strength to that frame. Really good man press guy. Again, studier of the game. So he understands coverages. He understands how to study film at a young age. So, and that may be, more than what you see on tape. And Rod Babers gave a great breakdown of Caleb Chester at the end of our commitment video for Caleb Chester. If you haven't seen that, you want to go watch Rod Babers' breakdown of Caleb Chester. But beyond what we see on the huddle tape here, what I've seen in person, seeing him three times, I like his makeup. I think he's got the correct makeup to go on to the Power Five level at a blue blood program and succeed and ascend. I think it's a really good evaluation. Blake Gideon, this is his school. So he got Texas on Chester a long time ago. Terry Joseph took over the recruitment. As obviously Chester is a corner slash nickel that will play corner. But Texas, I think, did a really good job evaluating Caleb Chester. I think it's a good pickup. We've had him as a four-star prospect since I went a few weeks ago and really sat down with Caleb Chester and learned more about him, what makes him tick, what he is like as a prospect, maybe. Again, not the huddle tape you see here, but everything that makes him tick, Bobby.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people – it's kind of hard, Jerry, because unless they have a lot of interceptions, cornerbacks are one of those positions – that you need to see in person. Can they turn and run?
Yes.
Can they stay attached? Can they see the ball? What kind of player they really are? Huddle tape typically is very difficult on corners.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just very, very difficult. So I agree with that. I look at recruiting and I'm just thinking to myself, Jerry, and I wrote this morning on ontexasfootball.com. With the commitment of Chester, that takes Texas to 11 commitments, right?
Yeah.
What positions is Texas now done with and still recruiting as we look ahead? They're done at quarterback and running back. Those are the only two positions I think they're done with. They have one and two commitments respectively. Okay. Offensive line, they have no wide receivers committed. One tight end when they want at least two.
Yeah.
They have three offensive linemen when they might take five or six.
Yeah.
One defensive tackle who's a little bit tenuous. One defensive end when they want four, perhaps, defensive tackles and two or three edges.
Correct.
They have one linebacker that's a stud. They want two or three. They only have one cornerback now and no safeties. And they want probably two to three corners slash nickels and at least two safeties. I find it kind of interesting how they're trying to piece this all together and what's left on the board. I talked about corners in particular, Jerry, and you made a note on the board this morning. Texas has not rescheduled their official visit with Dorian Brew, the corner out of Conroe. Does that mean to you that Texas may be just looking simply more out of state in this class? Or are they still waiting on Dorian Brew, or is it kind of up in the air?
I think Texas is pushing as hard as they can for Brew. I think it's on Brew's end right now. I think that's where the issue is, I think Texas has been trying. Texas wants him on a weekend visit. Well, here's the problem with that. If he goes to Oregon this week, it doesn't look like he's going to Texas this weekend. If he goes to Oregon this weekend, then you're battling Ohio State that last weekend, which is tough to see him not going there, obviously with his mom in the Hall of Fame there. So if Texas is going to get Dorian Brew in, if he doesn't do a switcheroo here in the next 24 hours, then Texas is going to have to try to settle for a midweek visit. And I don't think that's the position Texas wants to be in. Texas does not like the midweek visits. They like the weekend visits because they feel like they are tough to compete with on weekend visits. And I agree. That's why you don't see Sark pushing for midweek visits, because there's a lot of kids that want to come in, sandwich a midweek visit, but that's not really what Sark wants to do. They may do that with Dijon Lee, right? But that's not really what they like to do. I don't think they feel like they're working from a position of strength. If a kid says, you know, I'll come see you in midweek, I think that's a pretty obvious sign because of the weekend visits that Texas had so much success with. But we'll see what happens there with Dorian Brew. But I would not say that's trending positively right now. I think Texas and Aiden Anning are strong. That'll be a Texas-Miami battle. And then Tristan, the corner committed to USC from Upland, California, Tristan Castro, he's scheduled to be in this weekend. You know, those USC commitments, they have to get on the plane because right now they're a little more difficult from California to get on campus than originally thought. But if he does make the visit this weekend, and as of last night, he was planning on making the visit, we'll see if Texas can make up any ground there. Then there's Devin Williams, the corner out of Buford, Georgia, where Isaiah Bond went to high school. He is scheduled to be at Auburn this weekend where he's committed. Then he's scheduled to be at Texas the 21st through 23rd. You know Auburn will try to shut that thing down this weekend. So we'll see what happens. And Cade Phillips is at LSU this weekend. I think that comes down to Texas and LSU, as we've been reporting it on Texas football for a while before he canceled the A&M visit. I think that's what this comes down to. Corey Raymond, they're fighting hard at LSU headed in that visit this weekend. And then the Texas gets the last shot June 21st through 23rd. And then at safety, I would say that, you know, look, I mean, Texas still making a run at Nathan Tillman. They offered him recently, SMU committed Mansfield Timberview. Texas is still making a run at him. I'll be surprised if he doesn't make a visit to Texas, but until he releases that, announces that, he's got to do that on his own.
Yep. Hey, Jerry, so that gives you a taste. Somebody's asking, did I say no tight ends? No, Texas has one tight end commitment, no wide receiver commitments. If I misspoke, I apologize.
Yeah, the crazy thing about tight end is I think it doesn't get mentioned enough, but I think it deserves mention. Texas position at tight end, the three guys, Caleb Edwards last week is a national recruit out of El Dorado Hills up northeast of Sacramento. He's at Auburn now. He's at Alabama this weekend, Oregon the following weekend. He is a national recruit at tight end. Colleges love the guy. Then you have Nick Townsend at Decaney, who's one of the freaks at that position nationally in this class, or maybe any class. I mean, he's up there. You're 6'3", 226, and you're running 10.92 fully automatic time in the 100, and you could go get 10, 12 sacks this year at defensive end at the high school level linebacker because you are an aggressive player. You're that guy at tight end. And then Keyote Armstrong out of Jasper. The kicker there, they're both at A&M this weekend, scheduled to be at Texas next weekend. So I think one of the things we're going to be talking about coming down the, these next two or three, 4 weeks is these kids kind of zero in on decision dates and start to make some decisions. There are more Texas versus Texas A&M battles in this class now, the way it's looking, the way it's trending, than we thought 3 months ago. Texas and Texas A&M are really battling on more kids. Like, I think A&M's trying to make a strong push for Riley Pettijohn. Obviously, Pettijohn's at Texas this week, and he visited Ohio State and USC already. A&M's trying hard. They've got him scheduled the 21st to make a push there. Michael Fasusi could very well come down to Texas and Texas A&M. Obviously, Fasusi's at Oklahoma this weekend. You just had Caleb Chester, an A&M Texas battle. There's been some others, but there's some by Kalik Lockett. Kelshawn Johnson were at A&M last weekend. Kelshawn Johnson is going to A&M or Texas. It's going to be one of the two. Kalik Lockett has Texas the 21st through 23rd. Now, he's got FSU this weekend, Alabama. He's been to USC and he's been to LSU. But, I mean, this is coming down to the wire here, and I think we may see a couple, three more true Texas A&M, Texas decisions versus those two schools didn't look like 3 months ago. Going to be fun to follow.
Hey, real quick, we have a couple of questions regarding Caleb Chester that I want you to hit on, Jerry. E. Kim says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Where does Caleb Chester project to? Boundary corner? Also, are you going to have him on as a guest this summer?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Caleb last night, and we're going to get him on as a guest soon. He's all about it. He liked the interview when I went over to Fort Bend Marshall, and he wants to come on and talk to the Texas fans. He said that last night. By the way, he's a midterm graduate, Bobby, December graduate, which I think 85% of these kids are these days. But I think Caleb Chester can play field corner. I definitely do. I think he can play field corner for Texas. Now, the question will be moving forward, Bobby, is, and Rod mentioned this in the spring game, they didn't do as much boundary field. They didn't, chase at that position as much. So it'll be interesting to see where they go in the future. But I think Caleb Chester, and I'll say this, there were a couple of colleges that recruited Caleb Chester as a corner or nickel as well. So he's a guy that has a little bit of that versatility, but I think he can play field corner for sure. I wanted to bring up this a question from Odin Horns or comment. I think that's a funny idea, but that's not one that's
going to be favorable. Hey, Jerry, we got a lot of people listen to us on podcast. The question was about four seasons, going to the four season and being paparazzi there. We're not going to do that. We have talked about it, though. That's something that a lot of people have thought about and talked about. Guys, I just want to say thanks to everyone for tuning in again this morning. We're growing like a weed. We just talked about it yesterday. Congrats to the Longhorns on Caleb Chester. We're going to talk about the schedule next. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor for today. That's Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, motorcycle accident, even an ATV injury, make sure you reach out to Adam Lowy at the Lowy Law Firm. That's lowylawfirm.com. You'll get a free consultation to see if you might be due compensation. Again, lowylawfirm.com. That's Adam Lowy. He's been doing it for 20 plus years in and around Austin and the state of Texas. Give him a shout.
A couple of questions here, Blake, I need to hit. Dia Bell, I've heard nothing major on that, which changes the view that Texas is in pretty good shape, but he did make the FSU trip. He's at LSU, I think. Is that today and tomorrow? I'll check on that exact date. It's either today or tomorrow or Thursday, Friday. He also tripped up to Ohio State. I think a decision end of June, in the month of June, is definitely possible. Zane Petty, we need to address this one. Or Lockett French and DeCorian Moore, UT-LSU battles. I don't think so. I think DeCorian, and I'm not counting out anybody, right? It's the NIL day and age. I'm not counting out anybody. I think DeCorian is more Texas-Ohio State. I think Jamie French is. He's at Tennessee this weekend. I've been told for a while that the thought is this could come down to Texas and Tennessee at the end of the day. Now, I don't want to rule out Miami with the new legislation in that state. But Texas, Tennessee, I think SEC, if he wasn't going to Ohio State, is still to play. But I think Texas, Tennessee, I think LSU obviously is in the mix. And then on Lockett, look, I mean, I think Texas A&M, LSU, schedule that visit to Bama next week. Was at USC, father's from Southern California, mom's from Louisiana, Mississippi. So I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for all these guys, but I think there's some real battles going on as you'd expect You know what you're going to hear coming out of every visit. This school made a move. School X made a move. We know it. We've been covering it for years. Javion Hilson, what did he tell us? Florida State, Texas, right? They zip Texas, zip past Florida. We're gonna hear all that on the official visits. We'll see when the dust settles, but I'll be surprised if the Corian's not Texas, Ohio State at the end of the day. Not ruling out, not throwing LSU totally out or Oregon total out. And by the way, DeCorian is still scheduled to visit Oregon next weekend.
All right. Well, Bobby, as you said, we're going to discuss the SEC schedule here. And we got some game time windows that came out yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we did a little podcast about this yesterday, Jerry, and kind of in real time. And after sitting on it and stewing on it, the biggest takeaway for me, Blake and Jerry, has literally nothing to do with game times, although there are that are I want to go into. The biggest thing for me is how helpful it is if you want to travel with the team to know game times this far ahead. I mean, look, you couldn't do that in the Big 12 because the game may start at 11 or at 7:30 at Iowa State. Right, Jerry? And yep. So if you want to go to the Iowa State game or the West Virginia game or the Kansas State game, it has to be an entire weekend. I mean, look, you literally, if you want to go to Fayetteville, you can come back on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
You could drive up Friday night, stay somewhere in Little Rock or whatever, and then drive home on Sunday night.
If your tires aren't slashed.
Yeah, if your tires, but you get my point, right? Yeah. The whole issue is how much better is the SEC from a scheduling standpoint just to be a fan? If you want to go see someone, I mean, I can now sit here and make plans on against Mississippi State in Texas the fifth weekend of the season. Whereas we're sitting there waiting on whether or not, I don't know, Texas Baylor would be an 11 o'clock kick or a 7 o'clock kick.
Right.
I mean, now anybody has their kids in little league soccer or little league football or whatever they might have them in on the weekend, they can kind of say, oh, well, you know, I can make that Louisiana Monroe game. I might not be able to make the Mississippi State game, et cetera, right? Oh, well, Johnny has a game at 8 a.m. on Saturdays and Oklahoma is at 2:30. You know, those are the things. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me. Is the SEC, by doing this and giving these flex schedules and or a notice of an 11 a.m. versus an afternoon contest, et cetera, Jerry, it gives an opportunity for fans to be fans if you want to go travel for the first time ever to Arkansas or to Nashville or wherever, right? I think that's a big takeaway. The other two, obviously, are the flex timelines for A&M, the A&M game. And the Georgia game. Now, flex times in SEC vernacular means basically it can be either afternoon or night. So it can literally be anywhere from 2:30 kick to a 7 o'clock kick Central Time for Texas. That means A&M and Georgia could either be the main thing on at 2:30 or at 7 p.m. It would be DKR would be rocking with Georgia at 7 o'clock. Let's be clear. And then you know A&M at 7 o'clock, my goodness, at a night game at Kyle Field for the rivalry renewing, that would be an awesome, awesome atmosphere, I hope.
Yeah, you know, so we did a video about this yesterday. I totally agree with what Bobby said. Can we bring that up again, Blake?
Yeah.
Real quick. I thought what was awesome with this schedule is this year's kind of your SEC warm-up. But if you look at this, by the way, I like – the 6 p.m. UTSA, that I'm thinking recruiting mind here. That'll be a big recruiting game. And then Mississippi State, we'll see. I think Oklahoma being at 2:30 is much better. Oklahoma's the host team this year for recruits. Is a much better time for recruiting, getting kids to the Cotton Bowl, which I think has meaning for kids to go to that game and see that game. But then Georgia obviously will be a night game. That'll be a huge recruiting game for future classes for Texas. But when I was looking at this schedule, one of the things I thought as we did that video yesterday, Bobby, was, man, this is the welcome to the SEC year. Now flip this thing a year from now, and as a Texas fan, think about what you got in front of you. Michigan will be at Ohio State instead, but you'll go. You'll have a trip to between the hedges at Georgia to the Swamp to Kentucky if you want to go look at Rupp Arena, right? But I mean, those are two of the very best venues in the SEC next year. So this year's your welcome to the SEC, and we talk about how great of a season it could be for Texas. But if you look at what that schedule is going to be like next year for Texas fans, that's why I'm so excited about the move to the SEC for the Texas fan base. Is you get to go to Georgia and Florida next year. Are you kidding me? And you get to bring Arkansas and A&M to Austin next year. I mean, that is a great schedule in year two for Texas fans, and a trip to Ohio State once again, which hadn't been done since, an important year.
What a great game. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, a lot else going on, mostly in recruiting. Jerry, obviously, we had the commitment yesterday, but what else is happening out there?
Man, it's a huge, huge official visit weekend for the Horns coming up. You look at it, 16 or 17 visitors. We think somebody could be added to that list today or tomorrow. But 16 official visitors. Obviously, the headliner is DeCorian Moore, five-star receiver, the super freak from Duncanville. He will be in town with his mother and little brother and number of family members. Obviously, he has a lot of family living in Austin. And then you have the three commitments, Ricky Stewart, Brandon Brown, Lance Jackson. Huge visit weekend for Brandon Brown in Texas. I got a little news on that. His mother, sister, and an aunt will be in. His older brother is not making this visit. He has got a summer basketball commitment with family. He's going to be part of the visit. He's just not going to be at the visit. And I'm not sure that's great for Texas, but I don't think it's like a death knell or anything like that. It's a huge visit weekend with Brandon Brown in Texas. Tennessee did a good, fine job hosting him. That won't be the pick. This is going to be Texas or LSU, barring Miami doing something crazy on the 21st through 23rd, which is where he's going. So huge visit weekend there. And you start to look at this list. I mean, Smith Orogbo, great visit to Texas Tech last week, and has Texas in Oklahoma. We've mentioned this before. Families, all academics. They don't even care about the football piece. Smith Orogbo obviously cares very much about the football piece to go with the academics. Riley Pettijohn, huge visit here for Texas. Texas has been a good spot there. He's been to Ohio State. He's been to USC. So he's been wined and dined to the max headed into the Texas visit. They had a great spring game visit. A&M scheduled for next weekend, 21st through 23rd. There, A&M's fighting hard to be the competition, I think, for Texas there. You go down this list, Dalen McCutchen and Andrew Marsh. Dalen McCutcheon's a smooth route runner. I think those guys, maybe they're behind some other guys for Texas in the class. Kevin Wynn, huge visit here on the defensive line. Texas loves Kevin Wynn because he's got that versatility to play over the ball or even as that three technique guy. I've said it before, culinary. He wants to be a chef. That is a huge part of the recruitment. South Carolina's done a great job with that. Georgia hosted him 2 weeks ago and is suddenly pushing a lot harder than they were before Texas became a player in that one. He goes to FSU the last weekend. Kevin Wynn's never been to Austin. Huge, huge visit for Texas with Kevin Wynn this weekend. If he's not overwhelmed from Greensboro, Georgia, small town guy, if he's not overwhelmed by Austin, I think Texas is going to have a legit shot there. Marco Jones, to me, is a total wild card. Kelshawn Johnson mentioned that. That's going to be A&M or Texas. He still has USC scheduled for the 21st through 23rd, but I think that's coming down to A&M, Texas. Watch out for Nick Brooks. He was already at Georgia. He was at USC last weekend. He's at Texas this weekend. Had a great spring game visit. And I think Georgia had a big lead heading into the spring. I think that lead's very much shrunk now. Texas has a legit shot here. Georgia signed 11 offensive linemen in the last two classes, including six tackle prospects. So I think, something with Texas last year after they had signed 7 and 5 offensive linemen in those two classes, even if you're a Texas, even if you're a Georgia, it can get a little more difficult to stack those chips in that third straight offensive line class. Something to watch there with Nick Brooks, but I think Kyle Flood's done a great job in that recruitment. Lamont Rogers, I think it's all about the mom. I think where she, what she really likes, the school she really likes, and it's from an academic standpoint, is going to be big with Lamont at the end of the day. He's visiting Missouri. He was at A&M last weekend. He has Texas this weekend, then FSU the 21st through 23rd. John Mills coming in. I still think that's Texas over Washington. Obviously, four family members, including his mom, who have been athletes at the University of Washington. But if he maintains he wants to play in the South, just do something different for college, I love Texas' chances there. I think that's the only way it changes if he decides, you know what, after visiting all these places, I was at Florida last week and all this travel, maybe I want to stay a little closer. But to this point, that hadn't happened. Jonathan Cunningham, we'll see how hard Texas pushes there. Linebacker from North Crowley. You guys know I'm a big fan of Cunningham. I think instincts, length, physicality on a frame that will end up being 225, 230 pounds. I'm a big fan there. We'll see how hard Texas pushes with Riley Pettis on this weekend and Madden Foramo coming in next weekend, who Notre Dame may be tough to beat, but Texas wants to take that swing. So that's pretty much your visitor list. It's a star-studded visitor list this weekend and next weekend, Bobby. But these two weekends, not that the June 7th, 9th weekend didn't matter. You already got one commitment out of it. And there are some key defensive line targets in that with Josiah Sharma, who's visiting Oregon this weekend, Myron Charles, who's at Miami, and Javion Hilson at edge. But these next two weekends, I think, are really going to shape this Texas class come August.
Yeah, I was looking at the list, and obviously the defensive line is a big piece of it, Jerry, and edge, et cetera. But all those receivers visiting, you know, where is Texas at with all these receivers? Lockett and French don't visit till next weekend, but DeCorian Moore's coming in. Kelshawn Johnson, Andrew Marsh, Daylon McCutcheon. I mean, where is Texas at with the receivers right now in your estimation? Like,
yeah,
it's interesting because a lot of people presume that the top three are Moore, French, and Lockett, when that may or may not necessarily be the case actually inside the Moncrief Newhouse building, right? I mean, other than Moore definitely being in that group, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think DeCorian Moore has a spot until December. It won't happen. I mean, he'll commit, you know, around in before the season, like Colin Simmons did. He'll have this announcement because Reggie Samples wants this stuff done before the season, so they can focus on getting one more title here. I think that decision will come, you know, late July, early August, whenever that happens here. But I think he's number one. I think French and Lockett are right there. The one we don't talk about, and he canceled an unofficial visit, and I know Texas was planning for that visit, was Dallas Wilson from Tampa Tech. He needs to factor in, and I put my list of the guys in order who I like on TexasFootball.com yesterday. But Dallas Wilson may, you know, he's at Florida this weekend. He's at Oregon next weekend. He's scheduled to be at FSU for an official in November. So that recruitment is one you kind of recruit through the whistle and you hang around the rim depending on what happens with these guys in this summer. And then I have Kelshawn Johnson and I have Tanook Hines. I mean, those are my guys. That's who I, and if people actually follow what Steve Sarkisian's been recruiting at receiver, it kind of makes sense, right? Sometimes this isn't rocket science, but people try to make it harder than it needs to be. But DeCorian Moore, speed. Kelshawn Johnson, speed playmaker with wiggle. Tanook Hines really elevated himself this spring on the football field in offseason and the track. So a physical receiver that loves contact that also runs 10.45, 10.5, and 20.7, 200. And then you have your Jamie French, who I think is very similar to A.D. Mitchell. I think he may have a little more acceleration and initially after the catch. I'm not saying he's run 4.35, but nobody thought A.D. Mitchell was either at the combine. But Jamie French has some similarities there. Kalik Lockett, he may not be the burner of that group, but he has the catch radius. He has the biggest hands I've ever seen on a 6'2 receiver. He's 11-inch hands. And he has great body control. So I think that's where it's at. The interesting thing will be, you know, look, Texas will take, I think, three or four receivers in this class. I think they're going to have a hard time saying no to somebody who's really good at the end of the day at this spot in this class. If they get the four they want, I think they take four. But we'll see.
It's always interesting. I also would say of that list, we know of one other guy that is expected in. But are not putting his name out there at this point. It is on the defensive side of the ball. We'll say that, I guess. We can do that, Jerry. But until he goes public with that, we're not going to specify who that is. Also, Dijon Lee, the defensive back out of California that at one point was expected to make a midweek visit to Texas this week, is now saying that's going to be next week. Instead, we'll see if that actually comes to pass.
That would be the first midweek visit under Sark. So, again, we just talked about this with Dorian Brew. You know, Texas wants the weekend visit from these guys. I think the feeling is if you won't come in for a weekend visit, then you're pretty much a long shot.
Fair. Or they bring them in. Now official visits are different than unofficial, where they brought Fasusi in to get some one-on-one time early in the spring. But his official visit is set up for the weekend. By the way, Jerry, talking about things that midweek visits and whatnot, you're reporting today that Michael Terry, the athlete out of Alamo Heights, is actually on a midweek visit or expected to make a midweek visit to Texas A&M beginning tomorrow.
Yeah. So it's more of a Thursday, Saturday visit. So A&M's done this with a few guys. It's not always the Friday through Sunday. I ain't getting some of those guys in early, getting more time with those guys before it becomes the mad rush of the entire official visit weekend, which is an interesting strategy there. We'll see how that goes. And I'm not saying it's going to go well, or I'm not saying it's not going to work. I think it's a different strategy. I think because they're putting two visit weekends together in one, in a way, because they have some priority guys. Maybe they want to get in a day earlier and those guys go through Saturday. So they still get the full experience, but maybe they get more time with those guys individually early on in the visit versus bringing in all the guys on Friday through Sunday. So it's just a little bit of an interesting twist there with Texas A&M. But yeah, we talked about it. It's a big, we talk about Texas big visit weekend. A number of Texas targets are at A&M this weekend. Michael Terry. Then you have Nick Townsend, Keyote Armstrong. Then you have maybe the developmental D-line guy, DJ Sanders from Belleville, who'll be there as well before he comes to Texas next weekend. So pretty big weekend there. Fasusi at Oklahoma. I just actually posted a list of guys on TexasFootball.com where Texas targets are visiting this weekend. You know, you have Tanook Hines off the Texas visit going to Notre Dame, which has been considered the favorite in that recruitment for a while. A couple of guys up at Oregon, top targets at Texas, one at Alabama. So you look around and Texas, they're going to have their eye on their guys this weekend, obviously hosting visits, but then they're also going to be in contact with the circles of some other guys this weekend as well that are other places. And that does happen on these visits, by the way. Some coaches hate that part of it. Some coaches have adapted that part of it. But there's more communication, I would say, Bobby, with circles of prospects that are on campuses at other schools than there used to be. It used to be a no-no, right? Yeah, we don't bother these guys when they're on an official visit somewhere else. Yeah, I'm not sure that's necessarily the case as much anymore.
I've got to say this real quick. There's a David Iolatis, Iatole, it says here, good morning from Cleveland, Texas, Donuts Blend, home of Ivan Williams, baby. Everybody remembers him for the University of Texas, but Ivan Williams, every so often I want to do that. We went back to that number 80, by the way, 80 days away. First guy that really came to my mind was Tim Crowder. Bo Scaife is a good one.
Yeah.
I mentioned Malik Ogbo. I'm trying to think of the other number 80. Bill Boy Bryant, that's an old one.
Alex Okafor,
tremendous player.
Yeah,
now doing some radio in podcast. Lavelle Pinckney is early 90s when John Makovic first came in. One of his first key recruits. A lot of 80s out there. Tim Crowder on the national championship team. Alex Okafor. It's like a defensive end number. Hasn't been as many tight ends except for Bo Scaife, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Number 80. 80 days away. That just doesn't sound very long.
Hey, by the way, you know what sounds good to me? 80 Omaha Steaks. Good to me. Look, Father's Day is almost here. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for the man that has everything? The solution is extremely simple. Give him the unforgettable experience of Omaha Steaks, because a world-class dad deserves a world-class steak. I'll take 80 of them. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $99 when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps at checkout. you'll get another $10 off that order. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless, endless flavor. Blake was the first one to say that when we got our packages that delivered from Omaha Steaks. Endless variety, absolutely, and endless value. Truly, they have perfected more than steak, and your dad is guaranteed to love every bite. Pick from premium proteins like juicy pork chops, air grilled chicken, and beefy burgers, which were a hit with the kiddos. Time is running out. Don't wait until the last minute. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today with packages starting at just $99. Don't forget, when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, at checkout, you'll get $10 off that order. Shop for unforgettable gifts. They're guaranteed to make dad's day. Because if there's one thing Omaha Steaks knows, and I know, and Bobby knows, and Blake knows, and everybody in the chat knows, it's dads want steak.
Hey, I've gotten more compliments on that ad because they're like, hey, I'm ahead of the game now with my dad on Father's Day. Guys are notoriously bad, myself included, on waiting until the last minute to get presents.
Yeah.
That's a good one for Dad's Day. It's kind of innocuous, too. It's like everybody, to your point, everybody likes steak. I mean, what the heck? Yeah.
I literally look forward to my road trips because of that.
Your road trips. So you get to go eat steak or what?
Yeah. I go sit with my computer and write a story or do work sitting, eating steak. Yes, absolutely.
Where, like at Texas Roadhouse or something or what?
And Outback or wherever. Yeah, wherever the car takes me, wherever I'm at.
You're one of those guys that's a fan of the free bread at the steakhouse, aren't you?
Oh, well,
the salad bar.
It's not the bread, Bobby. It's the cinnamon honey butter that
goes on
the bread. That is an unforgettable fat-making experience of life. But so my 10-day road trip, which this spring, which was Saraland in Atlanta and down through Florida, I think that was 4 nights.
Oh my God.
4 out of 10.
I don't even want to talk about what that would do to me. And being on my butt all day from driving.
The key there is if you do that in the morning, then you got to wake up and make a sunrise walk in Florida where you can hear the ocean and sweat out some of it. That's the key, is you got to get your butt out of bed early the next day to have that sunrise walk before coffee and football.
Well, you're also doing that and drinking prune juice if you're in Florida. So keep that in mind.
Oh man. Did y'all see, speaking of this, Joey Chestnut is vegan now. Did y'all see where they banned him from the hot dog competition?
I know. That is just, he's vegan, and so he can't. I mean, how are you vegan and you're eating hot dogs and still want to compete? Joey Chestnut, quote unquote, released a statement about it yesterday.
Yeah, got about 6 million impressions.
Man? I mean, come on.
How many years in a row has he won this thing, Blake? How do you take him off?
No.
It's like you're retiring like Rafael Nadal from the French Open. That's what you're doing. You can't win it anymore. You're not fair. We need new blood.
Yeah.
Is there a sweet spot for people being able to competitively eat? Like, you know, for golf, you're pretty good until you're 40, right? Or so usually. For other ones, it could be 25 to for boxing or something, or 30. Baseball, you can play up to your 40. What is it for competitive eating till you're like 60, 75, 70? If you last that long,
till your intestines explode.
What is the mix?
It's crazy. 16 times, Jerry, to answer your question. He dominated from 2007 to 2014, took a year off, and then 2016
and 2000. Yeah, intestinal repair, and came back and did it again. I mean, like, retire, like, I don't know. I mean, hey, Secretariat can't write race anymore, okay? Winning too much. They literally just took Joey Chestnut and sent him to the Kentucky horse farm and put him out the pasture.
Oh man. Okay, guys. Well, we've had some questions here. R. Charnell, baseball update.
Oh boy.
And there's officially not much of an update. I mean, it seems like those are in motion. Bobby said yesterday that he expects a change. I said on TexasFootball.com the same, echoed basically what Bobby was saying there, but no official announcement. I think the next couple of weeks will be very telling. is about as far as I'm going to go with that, but just going to have to be patient. Just going to have to wait and see there.
Well, I mean, I think let's say this. Let's be pretty clear about one thing. If there's not a hire until after the College World Series is over, well, that's kind of telling.
Yeah, what I've heard a little bit more specifically, Texas has talked either to agents and or whatever behind the scenes. Okay, and so that leads me to believe if I know that and feel that to be true, which I do, I get the strong sense that Texas is probably David Pierce is probably not going to be the head coach of the University of Texas next year. Okay, so that's pretty simple. I think they put out feelers to a lot of different people just to check on them. To Jerry's point, though, I had heard they put out feelers, for example, to the USC coach, the Wake Forest coach, the Virginia coach that I think has won a national championship. Those are guys that I think would come here pretty easily, come to Texas pretty easily. And if they were the choices, I think that they would already be on campus, to Jerry's point, and to Blake's as he nods.
Because the portal's on fire right now, Blake.
Yes, that's part of it. And the other part of it is maybe they're waiting on somebody that they can't talk to yet.
That's right.
But have gotten an inclination that maybe they're interested. So we'll see where it goes. I wouldn't be surprised. Who it might be. Texas has an allure for baseball that few teams can match. They really do. I mean, maybe LSU has the same kind of allure overall, long term. Maybe Miami at some point did or has, but they don't really support their athletics like other sport like LSU and Texas do. We'll see.
Definitely. That comment in the chat just made me laugh. All right, guys. Well, yesterday we talked about CBS Sports putting out, they ranked the running back rooms. Well, they've also ranked the wide receiver rooms. I'm going to go ahead and put Texas up here. But today they came out with a wide receiver list. They have Oregon number one, Ohio State number two, Texas once again coming in at number three, which is also what the running backs are ranked. Missouri number four, Ole Miss number five, honorable mention, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Oklahoma, and Kansas. A lot of SEC on that list.
Yeah, I think there could, some interesting things there. And look, these are great things to talk about because that means we're getting closer to college football season, right? Oregon at number one was interesting to me when I looked at this list. The only way that happens is Evan Stewart's more football focused than he was at A&M. If he is, that guy's a hellacious football player. But if he's not, Oregon won't be number one. Ohio State at two, that's kind of, based on – I mean, Ohio State gets a lot of hype, and a lot of it's deserved at wide receiver. But is this going to be their best group? I mean, a lot of people are thinking Jeremiah Smith's going to be a 1,000-yard-plus receiver as a true freshman in college football. If he falls short of expectations, they probably don't finish two on this list. I mean, that's just the reality of what people are basing this on. Three with Texas. I mean, look, I think this Texas's group's going to be better the second half of the season than it is the first, Bobby. I think starting about Mississippi State, headed into OU, I think these guys are going to need a little bit of time to gel this year versus last year's group, which had more experience in the system, and that's counting tied in with Nyblack. But when you look at Missouri, I mean – look, Luther Burden's as good a college receiver as there is. Theo Weiss, pretty good player. Mookie Cooper, pretty good player from transfers. Tight end's a good player. Ole Miss, I think, is underrated at five, and I think Bobby likes them a lot. Obviously, Trey Harris was big last year. Then you have Juice Wells. But, again, that's if Juice Wells is healthy for Ole Miss this year. But they have a good tight end that's a draftable player. I think here's the crazy thing. Oklahoma's receivers, I think, are underrated now. One of them's coming off an ACL, but Nick Anderson's I think's a 10-year NFL player. I thought that coming out of Katy. I think that guy's tremendous. I think Deion Burks adds a really good slot to them. I think they're probably being undervalued. It's weird to see Kansas on all these lists again this year, but I think Georgia's not getting enough love at wide receiver. I'll say that. I think they're going to be better than people think.
Ole Miss, Ole Miss in Missouri. The thing about Texas and wide receivers, and I this is something I wrote yesterday morning, right, Jerry, about Silas Bolden and his kind of immediate impact on the team. And I mentioned the leadership factor.
Yeah.
There with him. You know what someone actually told me yesterday afternoon? This is subsequent to me writing that yesterday about, he said that Silas Bolden's arrival was a little bit of a wake-up call to some other receivers. Like, it's on now. Like, y'all better be ready because there's – it. We thought it was going to be dog-eat-dog trying to get receiver reps. Now it's absolutely dog-eat-dog trying to get receiver reps. So everybody better bring it every day. And that's what – he called it a wake-up call for the receiver room. Like, no more drop balls. No more wrong routes or what they call MEs, mental errors. They're done with that, or else they're going to find some. Steve Sarkisian got. He's going to go find somebody else that doesn't make a mistake. And that's somewhat similar to what Andrew Mukuba brings to the secondary. You know, highly consistent, very few mental errors, highly consistent player. Silas Bolden gets talked about for his quickness, his speed, and all that other stuff. What was probably missing in that conversation when he was being recruited, Jerry, is his experience and being, I mean, he will be the elder statesman in that room immediately. Yeah. Or is. And I think that, frankly, that's been welcomed by the coaches to this point. And we're only a week in. I mean, they want this. It's very important for Texas to have a successful season for the receiver group to maximize their talent, right? I think we all agree with that.
Here's
why somebody like Silas Bolden to you know, spark that fire.
Here's the thing about Silas Bolden is for me, and this doesn't go in. This is says nothing about how many catches and yards he's going to have this year, and if he's going to return a punt for a touchdown this year, kickoff or whatnot. But when you're 5'8", 165 pounds, and you play the way he does, he plays with fearlessness. Fearlessness, and he's physical for an undersized player. You have to be fearless at 5'8", 165 to go back and return punts at that level. Fearless. That fearlessness translates right into competition at Texas. You know, he's sitting up at Oregon State, and again, I think this goes to what you're saying, Bobby, about what he adds. He stayed up there to graduate from Oregon State. He could have just jumped in at the spring if he wanted to, but he stayed in there to be a grad transfer. He could have gone back and finished there. I mean, at any point in time, right? But to be a grad transfer. But he has a fearlessness. And those guys that have always been overlooked because of their size, under-recruited. Well, I mean, remember, his high school quarterback was C.J. Stroud. His senior year. That's one of his best buds growing up in Rancho Cucamonga. So Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning ripping balls around, that's not anything new for him, by the way. There is no adjustment here. But that guy was in – he was in the playbook all spring long, even though he wasn't in Austin. But he comes in with a fearlessness. Guys that have that are undersized, they tend to always outperform what people's expectations are. And I suspect Silas Bolden will do that at Texas. And it may not, and I'm not just talking about catches yards again. It's much more than that. By the way, we had a couple of things here I wanted to hit.
Wait, Jerry. I want to say this about Silas Bolden. To reiterate just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
The receiver room. That's the idea behind it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Some sad news in the sports world. Jerry West has passed away.
Oh.
The logo. By the way, I'm watching with my son the show on HBO Max about the dynasty of the Lakers. Unbelievable. It's an unbelievable show. And it's if you haven't seen that, go look that up on HBO Max. It's really something. I'll say that. And then there was some that I started another question. Maybe I didn't. No, somebody asked how fast is Caleb Chester? I think Caleb Chester, once he gets into a college program and continues to develop, I think he'll be a high 4.4s guy, 4.4 guy, 4.5 flat guy. Now, he ran track at Fort Bend Marshall, but kind of like Kelshawn Johnson, who kind of bypassed track a little bit this year for football. I think Caleb Chester's a more football-focused guy than a track training guy. For instance, he'll go train with a trainer with footwork drills in the Houston area on weekends before he'd ever train for track. So he's more football-minded, but he is just starting to fill out physically from where he was. I think he'll be a high 4.4s, 4.5 flat type of guy.
Okay, guys, we got a couple of super chats that we need to knock out here. This first one from Brandon. Thank you, Brandon, for the super chat. He says, I'm genuinely concerned about our secondary recruiting and our secondary coaching. Would you say, based on the secondary success this year, the secondary staff will be on the hot seat?
I don't know if hot seat is the right word. I mean, look, people can talk about their stats last year and where they set. I think a lot of that was that teams had to go to the air because they were having zero success on the ground. And Texas was scoring a lot of points and getting out the leads. At the same time, you got to remember they actually did very well on third down. Texas had great third down defense. But, you know, there's a reason perhaps that Steve Sarkisian only gave 1-year contracts, extensions to Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph. And that's that he wants them to prove it, right? This is a proving year in some ways for those guys because they are going to be called on more. I think of all the positions, they got a bigger berth of forgiveness because, frankly, they didn't have a lot of highly ranked players when they showed up on campus or in the first couple of years of recruiting. So their highest ranked players are all very young at this point. That's probably the difference.
Blake, somebody asked how many of the Texas commits are early enrollees. I'll go through that. Lance Jackson, if he wants to be, will be. That could depend on summer baseball, but I think that's trending football. Elijah Barnes, December graduate. James Simon, December graduate. KJ Lacy, December graduate. I believe Amari Winston is, but not 100% sure on that. The Colemans are working to be expected to be December graduates. Ricky Stewart, I believe that's his plan as well. Jackson Christian, that's his plan. Brandon Brown, that's his plan, although he'll be a young guy. Caleb Chester is. So I believe just about everybody, maybe one of those guys won't be on the commit list currently. I think that's just going to be a continued trend where 80, 85% of these classes are early enrollees. And I'm talking the nationally with all your top prospects, not just Texas. I think we're headed to 80%. 85% of these guys on an annual basis are December graduates in high school.
Hey, Jerry, this one from Jerry's Jackling Super Chat. Any concern that Caleb Chester was an emotional commitment? I'm not the biggest fan of a commitment right after a visit weekend. I didn't feel like this was an emotional. Obviously, there's a level of emotion, but he was trending Texas for quite some time.
Yeah, no, I think he was, especially when I was there last week. I felt like just something that was said in passing between him and I made me think that this could happen for sure or was going to happen if the visit went well. I actually say this, if he had committed on Sunday, I think that would have been, you know, I think it would have been a solid commitment, but I think that could have been a little bit of emotional commitment. I think the fact that he took some time, was still even considering taking the A&M visit, gave a little bit a little bit more substance to that, but I don't think it was an emotional commitment. I think that Texas has done a really good job there. I think that the family was very much on board with Texas and their vision with Caleb after the weekend visit. So I think going into the visit, I thought it was possible based on what Caleb mentioned. But I like that he didn't commit Sunday, drove back with his family. They talked about it. They took 24, 48 hours to say, yeah, this is what we want to do. And then they called A&M and Arkansas and TCU. And canceled.
All right. This one from Dax Kalm. I can't necessarily say I would know the answer here. USA versus Brazil tonight in soccer. Who you taking? Score predictions. When does Texas get a men's NCAA soccer team? I can handle the last part. The first two, I am clueless about international soccer. I'm not one of those guys that watches, Euro soccer or English soccer at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. So I don't know that. I would say that Brazil scores a lot. I know that because they're like magicians with the with a soccer ball. So I'm going to say Brazil wins. Sorry, where that goes. All right, when does Texas get a men's soccer team? So this is something that I actually talked to Chris Del Conte about 6 months ago, actually. I was like, what's next for the athletic program? You've clearly got the Athletic Director's Cup. They won the third of four years just here recently. What is next? He said, well, women's beach volleyball is definitely on the way. That starts next year officially, right, as a qualified sport. He said then he's also looking at adding another women's sport before anything in men's. And part of that is to keep track with Title IX, okay? Texas has to have more female scholarship student athletes right now to keep pace with the men's side based on their enrollment at the University of Texas. So Dax, unfortunately, even if you're a big soccer fan, it's going to be a while before they become a scholarship sport, if they ever do.
I mean, the chat will help me out here because I'm green on this one. But my thought is women's gymnastics, because it's a strong, strong sport in the SEC. I mean, to me, that's the natural move for Texas, adding a another women's sport. But I could be wrong on that. That's just my initial reaction to that, knowing zero about gymnastics and if Texas would want to go down that path.
There's two. Gymnastics is one, Jerry. You know what the other one was that was mentioned? Equestrian. Equestrian, because it's fairly easy.
That's A&M's best sport, Bobby. That's taking away their best sport.
Just telling you, that was
being
the other
a bully. That's being a bully.
It wouldn't be equestrian wouldn't be my choice. It would be gymnastics. I think that makes more sense. And with the fact that the indoor facility is being used and can be used by the cheerleaders, it would only be natural if it could be used by gymnasts too.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
We got some more super chats. Felipe Velasquez says, praying for 9 wins in Vegas.
Man, I'd pray for more, Felipe. Don't waste your prayers on 9. Go heavier, buddy.
Go 10.
That's my take on you. Wouldn't you be praying for more than that, Jerry?
Yeah. I mean, look, 9 wins, it's going to be a – this is going to be a gloomy chat and gloomy Texas football coach's office come December.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No. Well, I mean, look, and you could go 9-3 if you have some key injuries playing in the SEC. And you know what? You could still be the 12th seed in the playoff. So maybe I shouldn't say gloomy, right? If you're 9-3 and the 12th seed in the playoff, you're still in the fight.
Hey, is that a good question for you? Like, is that ultimately what the goal is this year, just make the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think so in the Texas football coach's office, no.
Okay, maybe not in the coach's office, but as a fan. I'd like to chat that. Like, as a fan, if Texas ends up in the college football playoff, is that an acceptable finish based on what you know? That would put them in the playoff 2 years in a row, by the way.
I mean, that's where I've come out. Bobby, that's where I've come out. I think, look, my goal for Texas this year is to be back in the college football playoff. And I know for some people, if you're 9-3, get in the 12th seed, or you're 10-2, and, you know, maybe you're the 5 seed or 6 seed, some people be like, not good enough. But, you know, for me, this thing's all about getting in the playoff. And, yes, you want to win national championships. I get it. It's going to be harder to do than ever with a true playoff now. You're going to have to win two games in a row right now. I think when we go to 16 teams soon enough, you're going to have to win that extra game. It's going to be hard to win a college football national championship, harder than ever. But I think that is the goal, is to get back in the playoffs. That's continuing to ascend as a program. You know, that to me is the biggest goal is the national championship. Yes, you'd love to be 11-1 and have a bye in the playoff, or 10-2 and be a 5-6 seed. I just want to get back in the playoff, because that means your program has sustainability, Bobby. That's the thing about it that I look at. So that's my starting goal, 10-2, getting in the playoff. And if you beat Michigan, I'll adjust it kind of like I did the win at Alabama last year. What about you? Blake? Give an opinion.
Mine is clear. I think just playoff. What about you, Blake?
Yeah, playoff. I mean, with the hype around this team, playoff for sure.
And think about just being in the first college football 12-team playoff. Think about how much more attention you get by being in that. And if you're in it and you win a game, I mean, just think about all that, the attention, the buildup to that college football playoff. Just being there in year one is, I think, a huge win for all 12 programs that are eventually going to make it, because the hype that's going to come with it, it's a new brave world in college athletics. Here's the first 12-team college football playoff. Can you imagine how hyped up this is going to be? This is going to be great, great for all 12 programs that make it. And I don't care how successful Georgia's been, Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, being in this first 12-team playoff. Now, for Ohio State fans, if Ryan Day went 9-3 and got in the playoff, they'd be telling, move out of here. Get out. Here's your for sale signs. But being in the 12-team playoff is going to be massive for the programs that make it. I really think – I believe that. And if you're Texas, 2 years in a row, you may be the only school that can say that. We'll see what happens.
Before we move on to these last few questions for today, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, absolutely. Adam and the Lowy Law Firm have been a long-term sponsor with us, and we appreciate Adam and his group so much making these mornings possible. Adam and his group focus on injuries in car wrecks. So whether it's a truck wreck, car wreck, any kind of vehicle accident, ATV, motorcycle, and you think you might be due compensation, reach out to Adam and get a free consultation. You can reach out to him via email or online, lowylawfirm.com. He's got more than 20 years experience doing this. A lot of folks have told me that they've reached out to Adam and had success. So congratulations to them and him as well. But again, Adam Lowy, lowylawfirm.com.
Hey, I want to bring this one up real quick because I think we haven't talked about this, but I just want to give this credit. Volleyball was on the European tour, and look, we're going to be ranked number one in the country next year, right? Defending national champs, obviously, two back-to-back. But look, that is impressive group. I watched just a little bit I could find on that. Not going to be talked about enough, but is there a more impressive athlete than Madison Skinner at Texas right now?
The volleyball player, there's not.
Seriously.
She's
a freak. She's a freak. What she does from the back line, you can't match it.
Nebraska, though, Jerry, is supposed to be number one, is what I'm told. They have some big transfer from Minnesota or something. So
we'll see.
Keep that in mind. Well, yeah, we'll see. Texas is back-to-back champs. So
yeah.
Okay, guys, we got a couple of super chats left to knock out before we call it a day. And we'll start with this one from Hook to a T. Thank you, Hook to a T. Says, when are you going to have Craig Way on the show?
We've had him on, I guess, about a year and a half ago, Jerry. You remember that? I saw this chat come up. By the way, thanks for the super chat. And I texted Craig during the middle of this show. So we'll see what he says. I don't know. I can't, no promises. But I've known Craig Way for 30 plus years. And, as much as you hear about him, and he's just a great guy. So hopefully he'll say yes, come on, and share some time with you guys.
By the way, two things on that. Mark Valdez, another, when we're talking about Madison Skinner, people may have forgotten, and I did. She won it at Kentucky before she transferred to Texas. She is a three-time national champion. If Texas can get it done this year, she enters rarefied air that was, pretty much players that played for John Wooden back in the day. This is what people were talking about. Des Garrett brought this one. Calvin Booth's daughter transferred into Nebraska. She's very good. Very, very good. Her brother will probably play in the NBA as well, like Calvin did.
Okay, guys. And then our last super chat that we have is from R. Gilbert 33. Thank you, R. Gilbert 33. And he says, between the Big 12 and the SEC, which has more complicated offenses, especially in the passing game?
Outside of Josh Heupel and Lane Kiffin, the SEC is not very complicated from a pass perspective. Just not. They're definitely more pro style, which means they're more multiple, but a heavier reliance on the power run. There are very few teams in the Big 12 that relied on the power run game. There was Kansas State, and that was about it, right? Now, Kansas tried to be that way, but they used a lot of option with it. So the passing perspective, it was all Big 12. That's not even close. The Big 12, when I was growing up, the Pac-10 actually was the passing conference because they had all the quarterbacks, right? And they had the West Coast offense. And then when Mike Leach, really it started when he went to Oklahoma as the offensive coordinator. After 1 year, he went to Texas Tech as the head coach. And then Art Briles came in and, Dana Holgorsen was one of those. Drinkwitz may be a good passing game coach too in Missouri in the SEC. I forgot about them. But, the identity of the Big 12 was as a passing league, period. And so I don't think there's any question, Robert, that, the complicated passing schemes, a lot of them that are used in the NFL right now originated in the Big 12 with Mike Leach, Cliff Kingsbury, those guys. So that's my take on that. And I'm pretty strong on it.
And we are going to close with this. Bobby, you recently put up a community poll over on the On Texas Football YouTube page, and you asked people out there, what game time do you like the least?
And yeah, it was interesting.
11 a.m. Michigan is the winner.
Yeah, we asked them, the possible responses were 2:30 at Colorado State. That's going to be hot as hell. Yeah. 11 o'clock at Michigan, that's just early for such a marquee game, in my opinion. The 2:30 game against Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl, because some people like to get out of the Cotton Bowl early. 11 a.m. versus Florida, that seems a little early for what could be a big game. And then 11 a.m. at Arkansas. Then the number one pick from the fans on our community thread was 11 a.m. at Michigan. The others that got other three that got pretty even response were the OU game, Florida, and Colorado State. Not many people thought that it was bad to get an 11 a.m. at Arkansas. And I agree with that, actually. I think the 11 a.m. at Arkansas is a good thing. It'll be bright and early, get up and get out, have a weekend that you get home early on. So, look, Michigan, 11 a.m. Michigan, I think, is very interesting because, again, that should be the 7 o'clock ABC game, theoretically. But yeah. Fox has got the Big Ten, so Fox goes with Michigan at 11 to promote their quote unquote big noon kickoff.
Okay, guys, so that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We want to thank them along with Omaha Steaks for sponsoring. Thank you all for tuning in, for the super chats, the great questions. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com to continue that conversation. If you haven't already, sign up, become an OTFOG using that promo code OTFOG, $39.95 for 1 year. You can't beat that. Get more Longhorn information than you can shake a stick at. Jerry, Bobby, CJ, everybody over there, always doing a great job. So be sure to check that out. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime we post a video or go live. And for Bobby Burton, Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hook up.